Good morning. Welcome to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week we have a gaggle of people in here. We're going to talk about orchids. Orchids are found in the wild in almost every place on Earth, in every environment, cold, hot, rocky, foresty, deserty, and in almost every grocery store in the United States, for every price range that one wants. They're amazing, beautiful, smell good, bad, or not at all. My guests are three people who love orchids. They're members of the Sunset Empire Orchid Society. They are Angela Dunton, Monica Arsland, and Casey Heckenberg. Welcome all.
Thanks, Anne.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, good morning. So, we rarely talk about houseplants, but they can really enrich our lives as well. As, you know, growing things to eat, everything shouldn't be about eating, right? We mostly talk about growing food, but let's talk about something that gives us a lot of pleasure, which is growing orchids. There are a lot of myths about orchids. You want to tackle some of them? Like, they're impossible. You can't grow them here. Go ahead, Casey.
Well, the one orchid that we do consume is the vanilla bean. And the vanilla orchid is, there's about 10 species in that group, and we mostly just one of that species. And they are pretty easy to grow in the house. I've had one for about 20 years and successfully pollinated and grown a few beans. So we can grow that inside.
That's great. I haven't been successful with vanilla. I've killed every one I've had, but I'm willing to try it again.
I have a vanilla plant that I've had for about 7 years, and it's a vining plant, so you really have to make sure you have enough room to grow it. Mine has never bloomed, but it's still alive, so that's happy.
Cool. So, and it has leaves. It
has leaves.
Awesome. Have you tried a vanilla?
Never.
Okay. All right. Well, in some places, like in Southern California, people grow their orchids outside. In fact, when we, my husband's from there, when we go visit his mother, we always take her, we buy orchids in that area, like in Santa Barbara, and we've put a bunch of them on her trees, Layla's, Cattleya's, and she has, what are those ones that grow on the ground with the little teeny flowers? They're pink and orange. They grow in the ground. Ben has a bunch of them.
Cymbidiums?
No, they're little teeny clusters of flowers.
I know what you're talking about, and I can't think of what they're called.
Well, anyway, she grows those in the yard. There are cymbidiums outside year-round in that area. But here, we can't do that. Well, we can until it gets cold, right? Like cymbidiums, dendrobiums can grow outside in the summer.
Yes, some of them you can, but what I've learned is you have to watch how much sun they get. On the really hot days here in Oregon, you can burn the leaves. I tried that this summer to move some of mine outside, and I wasn't very successful. But I know that a lot of people here move them indoors and outdoors for the seasons.
Right. I keep my cymbidiums outside most of the year, pretty much after Thanksgiving. Once they get really cold, I bring them in. I found that if they froze, the ones that didn't die, that's when they would bloom after that.
They like to have that cold snap.
Right, which people think, oh my God, orchids are these tender little loving. But if they need cold, and cymbidiums need cold.
I have left my cymbidium outdoors on accident all winter, and it survived. But that's if you have a mild winter. If it's really cold and frosty, they will die out there.
Well, I had that one winter where we had a whole week of freeze. I had them in my, it's like a sunroom. It's not heated. It's, and it was frozen in there. And I lost two that were huge cymbidiums. And the other ones had like 7, 8 spikes. So I figure, you know, right, it either killed them or it helped them.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, The most common kinds that people see in the grocery store?
Phalaenopsis.
Phalaenopsis.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And now those mostly come from, what, the Philippines where they grow them or Hawaii?
A lot out of Cambodia and Thailand. There's huge growers there that grow a lot of clones. That's why you see so many identical white ones and identical groups of different
So those
colors.
Are tissue cultures, right? They take some of the mother plant, macerate it, put it in a some kind of medium and like shake it up for whatever until it grows, and then plate it out, chop it up, whatever, right? And you put it in a pot, and now you have a million of them. And then they come to us as these little teeny root balls in this packed in moss with a plant with this huge spike on it. How do they get it to do that? Like, there's hardly any plant.
Lots of light, about 18 hours a day. And, of course, in the tropics, there's only about 12 hours of light. So they give a lot of artificial light, a lot of growth hormones and fertilizer. Usually that variety of plant blooms in the winter, but however, with blooming hormones, they have them obviously in the store year-round, and the blooms last quite a while. And they're kind of a potted cut flower because the roots start deteriorating in that moss not long after the blooms fade, and if you don't repot right away after your blooms fade, you'll probably lose the plant within a year or so.
Right. I had someone bring me three in exactly that condition. It blows my mind that that plant that can be, you know, 2 feet tall has a root system that's, you know, an inch, maybe two, and most of the roots are usually rotten by the time you get it out of the moss. And if you don't, I mean, it's always this soggy mess and everything is rotting. So you got to get it out of there. So if you buy one of those, if you just repot it, what would you recommend for putting it in next? You know, like not moss, right? Get it out of the moss?
Get it out of the moss. And I recommend, bark and maybe some coconut husk. And I also put in a little bit of charcoal and agricultural perlite just to get a lot of air to those roots, because that variety of orchid, it was intended by nature to grow on a tree limb in the jungle and receive a lot of water and rainforest situation and the roots exposed to a lot of air. So
it would dry out fast. Yes. Right. And so what we do is we put them in a pot and try to think that they're like a land plant that's going to grow in the dirt, and they're just going to rot every time. And isn't the other thing with Phalaenopsis that if you have water sitting in the crown of the plant where the leaves come together, it's going to rot? I've done that many times.
So have I.
Right?
That happens.
We don't want water there. We just want it to go through. And see, the other thing is I find orchids sitting in water.
And a lot of that crown rot, I think, is, a bacterial problem where the water itself isn't the problem. It's the bacteria from the plant not drying out again. So if you have a good air circulation, the water's in the crown of the plant and evaporates within a few hours, just like it would in the wild, mm-hmm. because obviously they get rained on. Mm-hmm. It'll be not so susceptible. If you do start to see that, spraying that crown with hydrogen peroxide will...
Straight or diluted with water?
I use it right out of the bottle.
Uh-huh. Okay, and how often can you spray it?
Anytime I think I have a bacterial problem, some spotting on my leaves, the hydrogen peroxide doesn't seem to hurt the roots or the leaves, so you can literally soak the plant down. It'll kind of make your fingers tingly if you get a lot on your fingers, but it doesn't seem to hurt the plant, so as a preventative measure, it's something you can use. And it's pretty non-toxic to us as well.
Right, right. You don't want to drink it, but right, if you're just getting it on your hand, it doesn't matter. I mean, people use it for cuts and infections.
Some people do add it to their juice drinks.
Okay. Well, not only peroxide, but we use a lot of rubbing alcohol on our orchids also.
Uh-huh. And what's that for?
That is mainly to treat mealybugs.
Uh-huh.
You have a mealybug infestation, the
or
alcohol.
Or scale.
I don't know that alcohol will kill scale, but it certainly helps if you're cleaning your plant to wipe the scale off your leaves.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, scale's an insect. It's this round, kind of usually brown, kind of icky thing. Not necessarily on the lower leaves. It could be anywhere.
Oh, it can be all over your plant. Sometimes right. It looks like a little drop of wax is on your leaves. And right. In that, that's like their shell.
Yeah, there's a couple of varieties of scale, and the armored scale with a hard shell on the back. Once they're in place on the leaves, it takes a systemic to kill them. But when they're in their younger stage and they're still mobile, the alcohol does a pretty good job.
I do it with a Q-tip, dip the Q-tip in the alcohol and then rub it on.
That's what I do too. Also a little alcohol, little pads work to really clean your leaves off good.
Yeah, that's a great idea. What about when your leaves get these sort of sooty looking stuff? What's that?
Sounds like powdered mildew.
Yeah. Okay. Can you use hydrogen peroxide on that?
Most likely. I haven't had that on anything in the house. I certainly have had it on my tomatoes outside and squash plants, but I haven't tried alcohol on it.
Or hydrogen peroxide?
I haven't tried either one. On powder mildew outside, I just give up.
Right. I know. Our zucchini plants are covered with it right now. I think it's the end. Over the cliff. Goodbye. Yep. Be done. And you know, and then that's one thing, people, it's okay to throw out a plant, whether it's an orchid or any other kind of plant. It's fine to toss it. You know, if you give up,
sometimes
if it looks terrible.
Sometimes it's hard to toss your plant out. I'll wait until I'm totally sure that it's dead. If there's any sign of green, I'll still kind of give it a try and try to put it in my little orchid ICU and try to nurse it back to health.
I think probably the biggest reason I've killed orchids is too much water.
Mm-hmm.
Overwatering. I think I have loved my plants to death.
Misting, I think, helps instead of trying to just water.
A spray bottle with, do you have fertilizer in it or
no.
Just water?
Well, the fertilizing is interesting because people seem to have their own different little methods about maybe going a couple weeks and then skipping a week and...
Oh, for fertilizer?
Trying to drain the, yeah, and then maybe drain the water through the fertilizer and through the, what do you call that? You'd soak it all the way through instead of fertilizing.
Oh, like putting the whole pot in some water. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, Casey likes to do that.
Yeah.
And let it soak for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a person I know in Astoria who puts all her orchids in water and keeps them in water, and they do way better than mine. When I overwater, they all die. She's got a system. I don't think there's necessarily one way that works.
Right. You find what works for you in your own environment.
Right. Everybody has different humidity levels.
Yeah.
And
little microclimates inside your house.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
There's some huge hydroponic orchid growers out there in the world. And so they just, that's all they use is water, no other medium at all except for a little hydroponic gravel.
Wow. What about fertilizer? There are a million fertilizers out there for orchids. They, you know, from pink, green, blue,
every
yellow,
color of the rainbow.
And they all say something different on them. And then there's ones you know, in a store, right next to the potting mix that says orchids, there's all these different orchid fertilizers. Some of them say bloom and some say grow. And that's kind of, well, how do you know when your orchid's going to bloom? Because if it's an intergeneric hybrid, it could bloom anytime. In fact, multiple times a year. So you could give it the bloom all the time. Yeah?
My thoughts on it are when our day lengths are long and our air temperature is high and you're starting to see new growth, I like to use the 30-10-10, which is really strong in nitrogen. And then in the fall, I cut way back on my fertilizer and I moved to more of a balanced fertilizer on my Phalaenopsis 20-20-20 or any that the numbers are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then periodically, when I've repotted or whatnot, I'll use the bloom because that also encourages root growth. And I'll mix a little KLM.
And what's KLM?
It's a rooting hormone. It's just a liquid root hormone that you can purchase, and mm-hmm. you put a little dab in with your fertilizer. And
it's a liquid?
It's a liquid.
Uh-huh.
And I spray it on the leaves, and when I fertilize the leaves and the roots and the floor and everything around.
And your floor is just growing great.
The floor does start to grow green, which I scrub off.
Your wife must love that. Is this in your greenhouse, or this is actually in the house?
Well, it's a solarium, so it's sort of a greenhouse attached to the house. Uh-huh. And you're right, I do experience some negativity from my wife, so I try and keep my... I try and keep my area pretty ship-shape.
Uh-huh. Well, I think if you can do it out there, it's pretty good. So after Thanksgiving, any plants that are out should probably come in, or maybe even before. Depends on how brave you feel. But I watch the temperature. If it gets too cold, I let them get cold at least once and then bring them in. Let's take a break. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt, and we're talking about orchids. We'll be right back.
Sé que viene algo muy rico. Ay, qué rico, qué rico. Como cocina mamá. Ay, qué rico, como cocina mamá.
Back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Dig in the Dirt on Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, and KTCB Tillamook. And we're talking about orchids. My guests are Angela Dutton and Monica Arsland. And thank you to Casey Heckenberg, who has departed from our presence, but I'm grateful that he was able to come in for a while. There is a show and sale of orchids coming up really soon. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, our yearly show is going to be October 5th and 6th, Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so that's in a week.
In a week from, it's a week from this Saturday. This is our 17th yearly show.
Wow.
And it's a great time to come and see a lot of different blooming orchids that you wouldn't normally see in a store. Like, you can go to Costco and Fred Meyer. Home Depot has orchids. There seems to be orchids in a lot of different shops these days. But there's not a huge variety. And when you go to a show, it's a great place where you can be able to purchase different plants at good prices, too.
Mm-hmm. One of the things at the show is people who grow orchids around the region, all the way from Idaho to Canada, maybe even maybe down into California, bring something that they want to show off. So people bring their best stuff.
Yes, and they bring their best stuff.
And it's in its best condition. So you see plants, it's not going to have 5 blooms. It might have 50 blooms.
It might have 150 blooms. Yeah.
And plants you've never heard of. Species you've never heard of. Maybe a species plant, not a hybrid, not a clone, an actual plant from Ecuador, from the Philippines.
There's a lot of species plants when you go to an actual show.
And it's a judge show, so there is competition. People are there to put on a good show.
Yes.
Right. So they're
Making their plants in tip-top shape. There's a lot of grooming that happens before you want to put your plant into the show, because you want it to be looking you know, it's best.
Right. Now, another thing, if people think that orchids don't have a scent.
Mm.
And there are tons of kinds. Even there are Phalaenopsis that have scents.
Yes, there are.
And then there are there's a whole group of plants that have a very bad smell, whether
yes.
it's rotten fish or skunky.
There's a plethora of different nasty scents that can be accompanied with the orchids.
Right.
And you Dracula. Wouldn't believe that. You wouldn't believe that because you go and you see this beautiful plant and you're like, oh, what does that smell like? And then you turn around and want to vomit.
Right. There's some really bad ones. And there are often warnings on them. Smells bad. Smells like rotten fish. Smells like...
Mm-hmm. If the grower's nice, he'll put mm-hmm. a little tag on there.
Right.
But what's really fun is just to have people look at a flower and go, oh, smell that one. It has a smell to it. And then watch their face.
Now, orchids come in every color and size, from needing a microscope to look at it mm-hmm. to humongous, you know, 4-inch flowers. And every color from...
Oh, yeah. There's every color of the rainbow.
There's even
maybe
black.
Even plus some. Yeah.
Right. Blue, red, yellow, orange, black, white.
Oh, yeah. Every spotted and striped and...
There's orchids there's that look everything. Like different animals and...
That's right.
That have almost like paintings of pictures in them now because of the color splashes.
Right. They're amazing. And most of them smell good.
Yes.
Flowery,
there's
spicy.
Some wonderful scented orchids.
Mm-hmm.
Smell up a whole room for weeks.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
A lot of them have their scents at different times of the day also. So there might be like a nocturnal blooming that you have to wait till the middle of the night to even be able to smell it. Set your alarm clock for 3 a.m. just to smell your orchid.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay. So at the show, there's another part, which is the sale. And how many vendors are we going to have selling plants?
We're having, I think, 5 vendors, if I remember right. And they're from all over Oregon. We have vendors coming from the Washington area, even from Idaho this year. So there's going to be a lot of different plants for sale.
And they range from teeny to big?
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of different sizes. There will be little tiny ones. Maybe these are tiny ones that are full grown. Maybe these are tiny ones that are just starts also.
Mm-hmm. Which means they're really inexpensive.
Right. Right.
Even ones that you can hang on your wall, they're not all in pots either.
Oh, that's true. I'm not good at keeping those alive. I mean, I do the overwater and then I do the not enough water.
The underwater, yeah.
Yeah, hanging plants are tough. I just killed one. Well, it's been dying.
Well, also at the show, we have a repotting station. One of the members of our society will be doing some repotting for a small fee. So if anybody has a plant that
or
needs to be...
Or a pile of plants.
Or a pile of plants, yeah. There's... we can help you repot that.
That's great. And, you know, and if you have a problem with a plant, you can bring it too.
That's right.
And we might be able to, well, between...
We can troubleshoot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and actually, the repotter is very knowledgeable.
Very knowledgeable.
He'll know right away what's wrong with your plant. Like,
yes.
Throw it in the garbage or
right.
it's salvageable.
Or if it's salvageable, yeah. That's Greg Nielsen.
Yeah.
Who does the repotting. Very knowledgeable.
Very. And if you have a plant without a tag... Now, if it's a Phalaenopsis that's without a tag or, you know, it's some grocery store kind of orchid, he won't be able to tell you more than you know, you
right.
know, because...
That's difficult.
Right. But if it's a plant that that you got at from an orchid person...
At another show, perhaps, lost the tag, that happens.
Right. We may be able to figure out what it is, even specifically, because especially if it's blooming... People can identify it. They may have, a knowledgeable person may have seen that plant, may have grown it, and may know, oh, may even know where it came from.
That's right.
Who grew it.
Yes.
And we now know a lot of the growers, so
right.
we can identify it.
And everybody's so willing to answer any kind of questions, and there's no dumb questions. Everything is definitely worthy of asking.
Right. Now, there are also going to be some books for sale, orchid books.
There is a few orchid books for sale. We, as a society, we sell Your First Orchid, and that's a publication that has been put out by the Oregon Orchid Society. And there's also a couple other books. There's an orchid lexicon, which is like a pronunciation guide, because a lot of orchids are really hard to pronounce. Mm-hmm. And that really helps out, especially if you're going to do a lot of reading or traveling and want to sound smart.
Right, that's it. Yeah. Okay, so the show starts on Saturday the 5th.
Saturday the 5th at noon. We open our doors at noon.
Mm-hmm.
And the sale is going to be open first. And then we have some judging going on. And after the judging, about 1 o'clock, the display side of the show will start.
Okay, and then it goes Saturday until?
Saturday until 5.
Okay.
From noon to 5. And then on Sunday, we're open from 10 to 4.
Okay, so a little bit different hours.
Yeah.
And
there'll be a lot of us there to meet people and try to answer questions. And maybe people want to ask information about joining the society.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're always looking for mm-hmm. new members mm-hmm. who want to learn more about orchids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're all working on that.
Well, yeah, I've been growing orchids for close to 15 years, but I still consider myself a novice.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm almost been doing it almost that long. My first orchids came from my brother, who used to be an orchid hybridizer. My cousin has an orchid nursery in Los Osos, California. So I think it's called Orchids of Los Osos or Los Osos. Anyway, he brought a bunch of orchids to my mother's funeral and gave us orchids. And we put them in the car, and it was in Northern California, and it was 100 degrees, and they all died within, 2 hours. They cooked in the car. I mean, we didn't know. They cooked in the car. He felt so bad because he hadn't warned us that he sent us all orchids afterwards that didn't have those kinds of conditions in the shipping
right.
or anything else. And we started our little tromp into plants. And of course, he didn't send us something you could buy in a store. They have really amazing.
It was fancy ones.
Fancy
yeah.
ones. Big
my,
one.
My first orchid came from Fred Meyer here locally on the discount rack. And I had that in my house for probably 2 years. And it bloomed. And that was right when I joined the Orchid Society, and I was able to put my plant in the show, and I actually won a trophy on it. So that was super exciting for me as a very new person growing orchids, not really knowing what I was doing, to winning a trophy in a show. So if I can grow orchids, anybody can grow orchids. And we didn't mention where the show was.
Oh, you're right.
Our show is in Seaside at the Bob Chisholm Community Center.
That's
and that's located on Avenue A, kind of right behind where Safeway is.
Right. That's right.
There will yeah. be lots of signs out. So if somebody's driving by, you should be able to see our big orchid sign with an right. arrow pointing in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's going to be a blast. It's always a great thing. Great deals.
We're excited.
Yeah. It's a good opportunity. Thank you both for coming.
Thanks, Anne.
Thank yeah. you.
My guests have been Angela Dunton and Monica Arsland. And we are all members of the Sunset Empire Orchid Society. If you want more information, we have a meeting on the second Sunday of the month at the First Lutheran Church at 34th and Grand, between Grand and Harrison in Astoria at 2 o'clock. And you can join us. And you don't have to pay to join us.
Anybody and everybody's welcome to a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. You're listening to Dig in the Dirt. I'm Ann Goldine. Talk to you in a week. Have a great one.